We just can't fix ourselves because we're too busy focusing out, not inwards. Yep. And so, and not understanding things. There I am about to have a C-section. Now, I was going to have a home water birth, but I was having a C-section because I was wandering around and my ankle gave way in midair. So it gave way in midair, and so that meant that when I was going to put a foot down, of course there was nothing there, was it? And I fell on a roll of carpet, which just happened to be there while I was there. And so because I was trying to save my massively brain injured kid who ran across roads, I instantly fell down on, just dropped to the ground and rakied my ankle. So I sorted out my ankle, carried on with my life, no problem. Go to the toilet, and you know, you're sitting on the loo and you can see your pants, and I've got my 32 or 3 week pregnant belly, and there's blood on my pants. And you know, over my pregnancy, I'm going, I'm not having a period. What's going on here? And then I remembered I'd fallen over and I'd bashed my belly. Well, I was too busy saving my ankle, wasn't I? Mm-hmm. So I rang my home birth midwife, who instantly discharges me, tells me to go straight to hospital, which I do. And of course, it's Friday afternoon and they don't want to have anything to do with me until Monday morning. Never mind, but I have to stay inside just in case I bleed out or something. Not going to help me. I'm a single mother with a 10-year-old and Catherine was however old. No, he must have been a bit older. Whatever, Catherine was nearly 8, so he must have been nearly 11. Mm-hmm. And somebody had to mother these kids. So my sister did a good job of trying to cope with my profoundly autistic kid that night. And I knew this wasn't going to work, so I went home. I discharged myself. I said, look, I'll come back on Monday morning. You're going to die. I thought, well, now I've got needles. I can sort this out. That's my job. I do really hard cases. That son's now 24. Anyway, so they do a scan and they tell me that I've got a clot that's about to blow where the placenta joins the uterus. Helpful piece of information, not to go into labour. Now I'm going to be a cesarean. Not impressed. Anyway, life goes on. I stop all this from going on. So I'm really in the same situation as a placenta previa. Now, I didn't get this till I was talking to somebody else I'm treating at the moment who does have a placenta previa. And I thought, because she was told by those interesting people at the hospital that because the baby was transverse, now if you're 30, I don't know, 5 weeks pregnant and you've got a placental previa kid, where do you think the best position for the kid to be is? Not putting its head or its bum anywhere near the placenta because they could both die. So the kid's doing what? Which is safe. Which is it's lying transverse, so across the body.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is what my son did. My son did this for different reasons because broken my sacrum again between baby number 3 and 4. So if he had presented there and tried to come out, I don't think it would have ended well. So he was likely going to be a cesarean anyway. But going back to the story with the young woman who has a placenta previa, she was told in the hospital that she was going to have a vertical cut because the baby was transverse. And I'm going, well, that's not right. Because I had my track, but then I forgot, listening to your story, they forgot that I had a clot waiting to explode and a transverse baby. They were just having the next please, cesarean. So it's the same situation, a different end of the woods for your story. Because in Christchurch Hospital, they'd do the cut, which is across the bikini line, then they go thump as hard as they could on your diaphragm and out would pop the baby, supposedly out the hole. Well, she obviously didn't hit me hard enough. The doctor's is mostly displeased and tells her to do it again. And then the clot bursts. And then I've got everybody covered in blood. I don't know what's going on because I'm in La La Land with the screen. We've got the anaesthetist, lovely man, just looking after me. And they've got to sort out all this mess. You know, we've got mum bleeding to death, which is why she wasn't in labour in the first place. So the baby didn't get his cord blood, did he? Because
No. It
was all over the shop and then some. None of what was going to happened because they took the eye off the ball.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to go back to talk about the woman who had placenta previa, has still got. And they were telling her all sorts of terrible things that were going to happen in the hospital if she showed up. Tell me how safe you'd feel going into the hospital. And zero. Okay, because she was told that the first thing was she was very high risk, and the second thing was she'd probably come out without a uterus. So now she's hearing about having a hysterectomy at the same time as maybe being dead, And never mind the baby, we'll see what we can do. And by the way, we're going to cut you up to your navel because the baby's in the wrong spot. She says he keeps moving all the time, and they say we'll do it this way anyway. So she wanders out. Well, she's lost the plot and is crying all over the place. And I'm sorting her out.
This is now?
A couple of weeks ago, because she's 35 weeks at the
Which
moment.
Which hospital is she going
to have
to?
Well, never mind. So now she's going to go private, even though she hasn't got any health cover, and she's going to do the whole lot. Yeah, because she's up north, okay? So and she's going to go to the Butterham one instead of the local public one. And so her midwife, because she was having a home birth midwife, rang up and found out that the person head of obstetrics there has just done a grade 4 a placenta previa last week. And she said, and I'll get whoever the guy's name is, who's an amazing anaesthetist, and it'll be fine. So they're going to spend, I don't know how many tens of thousands of dollars, going up there, so they're there waiting, so they don't have to drive all over the place because they're out in the middle of nowhere on property, to get to the hospital, because it's apparently touch and go. But we don't know that because I'm still treating her. But all of this freak out has then meant she's got other health problems.
She's screwed now.
Yeah, well, yeah.
She's not, but...
Yeah, you've been there, whereas I was me while this was going, and I thought, silly buggers, and wandered off and took Chinese herbs, did the vitamins I needed, put the needles in and carried on, because I had to. I was a single mother. I had a massively brain-injured kid. I had no money. I had all these things going on around me. I couldn't go, oh, dear, woe is me, and worry about the future. And so there's me talking to this woman who's now got another problem, which is they've totally freaked her out. And she's got me in her corner. Yes, good. Okay, so I'm busily working on her. Trying to remind her she needs to see me more often than not. Okay, I'm going to call her back.
Down to you.
Just a minute. So, sorry about that, everybody. We had a phone ring, and probably it's going to happen again. Because, anyway. So, has she made it down to me? Yes, she has. And she's feeling a lot better. But the thing is, we don't have to freak pregnant women out, as has happened, as happens with everybody. So, anyway, back to the story. There was me going, oh, that was me too. I'm in the same situation. And here you are, lady on the couch, same situation. They're not paying attention. We are the givers of life. They need to be supporting us, not freaking out about what's going to happen to the baby. It will be okay as long as you look after the giver of life, which they weren't doing in my case, because there's a whole lot more that came on before the story of me having my cesarean.
Well, all they're concerned about is their insurance policy.
Well, I understand they're concerned about their insurance policy. However, we get to go home with a broken body, a broken psyche, broken sexuality, broken bonding to ourselves, our baby, our future, our man, everybody who is around, and we're expected to be the giver of life still. It doesn't end well for some of us. So that's why I do what I call maternal rescue, because you can be sitting in this story for the rest of your life, or you can actually go in and see what gift it was. And what gift it is that it's led you to where you have to listen to me, it's led you to where you have to do whatever, because who else is going to help? Good luck.
Yeah.
So that's why I've gone and done all the stuff I've done, and why I've got a whole clinic full of maternal and menstrual rescues, because I haven't needed it for me so much, but the people who come to me, because who else are they going to go to?
It's scary how many people I hear, because I'm at that age now where everyone's going through the same things, what they're going through, and yeah, it's phenomenal to hear people's experiences.
Even with the menopause.
I've been down that road now too. But my point is that if we're going to keep on listening to men, even if it's women spouting men's business, which is we make money out of women's suffering, we need to get really real and go back to what other cultures did, which is why we're doing vaginal steaming, which is why I'm doing all of the castor oil packs and everything that used to work 40 years ago when I was doing these things. Funnily enough, it still does. But it doesn't make money, because you do something once, like change what you're putting in your mouth. Now you don't need the drugs. You don't need to keep on going and having drips from the hospital. You don't need to be micromanaged by 10,000 people. You don't have a kid who's not made properly. You don't have the rest of your life to wish you'd done something different that time. If you fix it, take charge, and it's your responsibility what's going on with your body, because the most important thing you can ever do in your life is make that baby properly.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter what anybody else is saying. You're the one that goes home with that kid, and you're the one that's got maternal guilt. And we have it in spades just because we think everything, we're omnipresent. We think everything's due to what we didn't do right. Well, we need to disavow ourselves with that, but go and find somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I only had me. And it's a bit tricky when you're the patient at the best of times.
Of course.
But when you're the patient and the practitioner, ha, bit tricky altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So it's taken me a while to work things out, and it took me 12 years to ask a question. What would have happened if I hadn't have saved myself with a needle, which I did? Funny enough, I had acupuncture needles, and two people I'd trained, one on either side of me, when I was going in to have my epidural. After I'd had an epidural, before I was having my caesarean, and they lost my blood pressure twice, and on the third time it was completely no good, and I'm in la-la land, I yell out at the top of my voice, stop. So obviously I've got another part of Heather coming through to rescue the fact that this woman needs to be on the planet to help everybody else. This is part of her university course of life, maternal university, another PhD coming, you're having a caesarean. Oh, look at that. How many different ways they can stuff you up, Heather? Quite a lot, so they did. So the first stuff up was that they jabbed me full of adrenaline, and the anaesthetist was obviously needed somewhere else, and he raced off down the hallway. He disappeared. My blood pressure crashed again. The nurse dashed out, got him. He gave me another lot of adrenaline. Listen, the first lot didn't work. So there he goes out the door again, and my blood pressure crashes again, and she's almost out the door, at which point I yell, stop. Now we've got a freeze frame in a movie. I don't know what they were doing. And I very calmly, as no blood pressure, you're not very youthful, turned to Jane, because I'm working out which one will I task this with, not the younger one, Jane. Jane, can you put a needle in? What? Here? Oh, I'm thinking you're nuts. Yes. She says, which one? And I said, stomach 36. And she said, do I tonify it or sedate it? And Heather, with her very dry sense of humour, said, you put it in. So she put it in. My blood pressure came right. We're all good. I don't know what the nurse got up to after that. Nobody asked me, how did you manage that magic trick? Nobody did anything. Now I've got... Well, but listen, listen, we've got a problem here. This woman's had three crashes of blood pressure. What about the baby? This woman's had two hits of adrenaline. What about the baby? She's now magicked herself an acupuncture needle, being an acupuncturist, in the theatre almost, and has gotten somebody to stick it in. I mean, I don't normally wander around with needles. So that was the beginning of the stuff-ups of this birth. Anyway, so no doubt that contributed to the massive bleeding when they hit me twice. But I think just hitting me once was probably enough, given that's why I was having the caesarean. So then I thought to ask the question, when I was talking to a really amazing home birth midwife who I really trusted, when I was trying to sort out the woman I had coming into the clinic who's prolapse was so bad that it was at the entrance of the vagina and she was 12 weeks pregnant.
Oh,
no. Now, it wasn't bad enough to go to A&E, so they didn't want to know about her. She was going to the birthing centre and she wasn't 16 weeks, so they had protocol and they didn't need to see her. So her GP, sensibly enough, knew about me and said, go and see Heather. So I fixed it and she had that baby at 39 weeks. So anyway, there I am. I'm doing everything I know to do. I'm not at myself. I know I don't know everything, so I'm running around asking other people, and so one of the people I really respected was this amazing home birth midwife. I ring her up and ask her about this. She knows nothing, and then I said, hey, Vicky, just while I got you on the phone, because she was going to be my home birth midwife here in Brisbane before I jumped ship over to New Zealand.
Yeah.
And I knew she had an awareness of my story when I reminded her of it. They said, look, this is what happened. What would have happened if I hadn't put the needle in? And she said, oh, I know, 12 or 16 times round giving you adrenaline, either your uterus would have burst or your heart would have given out. I thought, isn't it amazing that I didn't think to ask this question until I was well past when I would have been upset about it?
Mm-hmm.
But what did they think they were going to do next? If it hasn't worked twice, are we going to do it how many times? Like, we're going to have to come up with some other solution, surely, to goodness. Well, my solution was sticking a needle in. 6.5 cents. Fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody wonder? Now, apparently this is an unusual event. Oh, what a surprise. It happened to Heather. Same as my ankle giving way in the middle of the air, which started this whole trajectory instead of me having a home water birth, which probably wouldn't have ended well because I had had a broken sacrum again since then, and he was not in the pelvis for a good reason. So then I go back to, it's like picking up stories all over the place, isn't it? Then I go back to the lady who's got the placenta previa, and I remember your story, and here you are today, and here you are. Tell us we're not being puppets, okay? So the woman who hasn't spoken to me since she had her baby arrives in today to pick up some vitamins, has a treatment. And I say, well, look, there's your hyperemesis. You walk in with your hyperemesis, which is so much better, because I went on Facebook and said, oh, for goodness sake, just do this and it will fix it. And how come none of the midwives, the doctors, everybody else don't know? Because it's too simple, Heather. It can't be that easy. Why not? It's going back to old wives' tales. We do not keep, not only keep it simple, stupid, but we've got this other thing, which is, why are we wrecking life? This is going against nature. And if we're going to, oh yes, but I feel like eating iced, cold, whatever. Yes, that's the internal heat. Shall we talk about adjuvants? Shall we talk about ultrasounds? Shall we talk about modern life? It's all drying out our fluids, and we're all doing things that shouldn't work, including gestational diabetes tests. Oh, who could have been so stupid?
I said I wasn't going to, but I did have an ultrasound last Thursday.
There we go.
And I got sick on Friday.
There we go. Just like that.
I've been sick ever since.
Yes. And that, now, just while we're talking about this, not for you to feel guilty, but they used to have 13-week scans and not before, because the baby was differentiating and it was too dangerous. It changes fetal DNA forever when you do that. Yes, and there's been any number of studies done on rats and sheep and God knows what, because when this first started, I was cutting these little snippets out of the Courier Mail back when they first started doing this and handing it to people who didn't believe it because their doctor said to do it. Now they're scanning 10,000 times. Oh, we need to date it. Bullshit. You need to stay right away from that scanning machine for the rest of your life because it's too dangerous. And then we've got hyperemesis since. Now look, your body's said, quick, go back to Heather, but it shouldn't have happened. And so then they're doing, oh, because what if you go and look at what scanning does, and I will in spare time do this up, and we will put all of the citations and all of the research that's been done on why we shouldn't be doing this. It dries out the amniotic fluid. Oh, the baby hasn't got much. We'll have to scan you every week. Stupid. It increases the temperature by up to 1 degree Celsius. Hello. As well as it's really loud. And you can see babies inside trying to cover their ears. So we're stuffing up their ears and the auditory processing for the rest of their lives. And why don't we just microwave it and be done with it? Just what the hell does everybody think? Excuse my French, but I'm not happy because I'm here. I stand for the babies and the children that they're not going to have because, you know, they've decided, and they, well, you forget about them for a minute. I'm actually not here for the mothers. I'm here for the babies. Now, the baby's not going to have a good job if mum's all in a mess, is she? So my patient is the baby, sometimes as yet unconceived. And they come in here thinking they're going to do this, that, and the next thing, these couples. First of all, we don't worry about his 2% looking normal sperm, which is normal these days. I'm saying that we need to do something about iatrogenesis because that causes disease. And it causes a bugger up on the baby for the rest of their life. And I'm sorry to say this, but I scanned my children too because I didn't know. And there's all of this that they darn will do and they make money from, except let's do what they do with vaccinations. You know, obviously, Heather's got a dander up. So instead of doing a benign placebo, they tell you it's saline solution that they're testing with. Yeah, aluminium salts. Hello? No amount of aluminium is safe in the body. So they're testing Gardasil and all these other vaccines that they're putting in everybody that are full of aluminium and putting more and more in against that which has got the antigen in as well. Who cares? The antigen's not the problem. The body's going to deal with that. It's not going to even pay attention to it, which is why they've got the aluminium in there as an adjuvant, which is why everybody's got fitting, seizures, death, neurological complications, everything that's going on after they've been vaccinated. Yes, they've taken mercury out, supposedly. But they've got aluminium, which is more neurotoxic, possibly. Mercury is just toxic for life. This is neurotoxic. And that's what they're doing. And so people are having all of these vaccinations. Let's give you a flu vaccination when you're first pregnant. Yeah. Did you know that you're likely to miscarry if that happens? Never mind, they don't tell you. More medical servicing. So I'm the too hard basket. I'm the high risk person. And I'm always going to say, oh dear, I'll give you a hug. Let's go and have a drink of water and some salted nuts. And we'll give you another hug. And we'll try and not upset you any further. But we need to mitigate what's just happened. Because and he doesn't realize I'm recording, so sorry everybody. So the fact of the matter is, unless you do something, which is a bit odd these days, just only do what your great-grandmother did in pregnancy. They had 15, 20 kids, breeches, twins, who cares, never mind. They had somebody down the road who may or may not have had babies before, but it's the only woman around when they're out in the country. And, you know, the men might have had to lend a hand because they were there with their cows and their sheep and they knew what to do. And in fact, I was talking to one woman who actually was there for menopause, I think, and her husband was there with her. This is in New Zealand, obviously, in the middle of nowhere. And he looked at me and he said, well. And she said, he kicked the obstetrician out when one of my kids was coming because he could see what a mess he was making of it and he could do a better job with his cows. And so he literally threw the obstetrician out of the way and sorted the problem out himself. So to think that we need a man, yes we do, a farmer, somebody who's got their ears full of wax and they're not hearing what the people are saying and they are instead following that tiny little tunnel that they were trained to look into, it's not working. Because, as you've just said, you hear all these terrible stories. Now, they don't have any money to get it fixed, point one. They've spent it all on the obstetrician who stuffed them up. And further to that, they've gone off in their fancy accommodations. Well, it's not a hotel, people. We're having a baby. You're not going to remember the wallpaper. You're going to remember that nobody listened to you.
I see the hospital that I went to for my first birth, which is the one where I was coerced into a C-section for, you know, reasons of keeping my vagina nice and keeping my husband happy and that it was safer, and that's what they would make their first daughter do because childbirth is how mothers die. And now I've seen that same hospital advertising high tea and B&B style accommodation for mothers and babies, and it just, every time I see it, it just hurts so much because I just, the simple things that could really make a difference to mothers' lives and the baby's lives is not being done, and here they are focusing on high tea. And every time I see it, I nearly cry.
Yeah, well, I can too, because the really good midwives are like me, no longer calling myself an acupuncturist, because it's illegal for me to call myself an acupuncturist or to be holding out as though I am an acupuncturist, because I am not following the rules. Now, one of the rules I refuse to follow is, funnily enough, thou shalt vaccinate. Hello? The majority of the problems I've got to deal with are because people have done that and they have had mouths full of amalgam, which I did, and it goes down through our bodies, and thus we cannot absorb the zinc and the magnesium and every other thing that we should be having freely available to us. Forget about your food choices. What have they done to the ground? What have they done to the crops? What have they done to the water coming through to us? So we're in deep trouble. And if we're going to agree to them, and I'm saying them wisely, those who don't know are the ones doing this because, hello, we're going to make money. This is what it's all about. So you get rid of the doulas, you get rid of the women who've done this before, like me, standing for the babies and the mothers for the last 40 years. And what happens afterwards is I might have an 80-year-old woman who's bursting into tears because she never even got to see that baby that was dead because their idea was just chuck it out and throw it away. Right, we're doing it differently now. We've got chilled cribs. So you've had a stillborn baby and it can be in the chilled crib for as long as you need to be there in the hospital with your dead baby. Yes, like any traditional culture would, because if mum doesn't get her grieving out of the way now, it will be buried with the rest of her life and it will never ever get fixed. And this is why I'm doing maternal rescues, and this is why I don't advertise for what I'm doing, because I would be inundated and everybody would go yes but with me, and they would argue with everything I'm saying, and they're not there yet. They have to really look to find me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not there any longer because it's too painful. Same with fertility. Well, we shouldn't, that's what sex does. And if sex is not making babies, you need to stop trying and ask why not. What does nature know that I don't, and sort that out. So with the woman who's got the baby who's not head down, good. He doesn't need to be head down. He'd be pressing up against what might then start bleeding, and he needs to be here. So he's doing a sensible thing, which is he's gotten into the right position, and here's the medical people freaking her out about...
That's me with Matilda. My second pregnancy, she went breech at 39 weeks, and the advice I had from my doula was to have her turned so that... And
I wouldn't have said ever turn a baby.
I had a physically turn, and it was possibly one of the most traumatic things that I've ever been through.
I didn't say turn the baby.
I know you didn't.
And there's a reason, because I had one woman whose friend's baby died when it was turned.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It was horrendous.
There's a reason the baby's where it is. What the hang is the problem with their training, that they don't know how to stand back and just let nature do it? The baby will be fine if you keep your hands off.
Mm.
And there are so many women my age and older who have written books on it. It's called Hands Off the Breech. And she's going to be forward. Now, this is evolving into quite a little tale, but one of my patients, when she was a radiographer, in London, and she was having her great overseas experience, and now she's in her 50s, so this wasn't yesterday, and she was flatting with a woman who was a midwife, and she came from Ireland. Well, in Ireland, so who cares? Look, this is before contraception, right? And so they're having their babies out in the corridors. And so there's no time to be mucking around, in and out, in and out, in and out, you've got a breech, never mind, there's a beanbag, go and, you know, relax yourself over the beanbag and have the baby there. Well, that's low tech, isn't it? And what about all the other babies coming with funny positions? Mum and that baby will sort it out if we're not doing men in the way.
Yeah, if we're not filled with fear.
If we're not filled with fear and we're going with what our body is telling us to do, granted somebody might die, and they do in hospitals and it's covered up all the time. And that's okay, because that's okay. Particularly the babies are dying. Sometimes the mothers are dying. Now, look, if they had done that, as would have happened in any other traditional culture, we've also got survival of the fittest. Now, we can't go waffling on about what was going on in England when nobody was in the sunshine and everybody was, you know, being treated like slaves, which, quite frankly, we're going back too quickly now. We're not in the sun either. Where's our vitamin D? Okay, just about everything that's going wrong is because we're doing, let's follow what robots would do according to what they've been told, instead of what's our inherent knowledge. Well, we do what we feel better with. And if we've got a baby in the wrong position, we're going to put ourselves into a pretty strange situation because it feels better like that. And when it does feel better like that, then that would happen. And so you... Well, no, we've got a bell curve. And so, you know, like, things happen off the program all of the time, and that's why we're here, because we've got brains and we might be able to think, no, let's all go down that tunnel, there's a light at the end of it, and it's called what? Doctor says no, what would happen out in the real world? We would not be eating anything that's cold, because every culture that was in a cold climate knew that you needed to stay right away from cold, and you sure as hell didn't put cold things in your mouth. Definitely not iced smoothies every day with ice in them. Definitely not yogurt and fruit for breakfast. It's got to be salty and it's got to be warm and maybe bland. But if you've got hyperemesis, which is where we started, it's going to have to be really salty and fatty. And hello, there we go. We bring in the vegans again. I go, yeah, I know. We'll have to deal with that another day.
Things like avocado and stuff, room temperature avocado, okay?
Put salt all over it.
But yeah,
and it's not what you're starting to eat to start with, because it's raw, so you're going to even if it's a hot cup of tea, or ideally it's a hot salty broth before you start, but I'm a textural person, so I want to crunch something. So, you know, like, there's only so much mush you can deal with. So that means you're going to make it interesting, because you've got to keep on eating. So you're going to put in something that you're going to want to eat. Well, that would be your sweet stuff, because you don't know any better. That would be the cold, because you're putting out the fire that's happened because you're really pissed off and furious. And it's very convenient for everybody just to chuck that at you. And I'm going, except it's not nurturing life, and you've got to get the food factory in a state it can do the job. And so for the woman who's carrying her placenta previa baby, the last thing she needed was to get absolutely furious and fearful, and all she wanted to do was run out of the room to protect herself and her baby, listening to the person who's tasked, probably with a lot of money behind her getting paid, to freak everybody out as the head of this particular hospital.
Oh, the poor thing.
And not only that, she's not allowed to bring, you know, from having an amazing home water birth, she wants the baby onto her. No, it's an unsterile field. Mum's chest is an unsterile field. Hang about. What are we going to do with the kid next?
That's the hospital.
Yeah, that's the hospital. It's their policy and its protocol. And not only that, they can't bring...
on the breast.
No, we're not sticking on the breast. It's an unsterile field. Like, what? And also, they can't bring a blanket that would smell of mum in to put the kid in because they got to use the hospital, unsterile field. So where did we get so stupid? And of course this woman's had all of her babies by cesarean, hasn't she? Let's not trust our training. Now, they've been trained to make a lot of damage.
That poor woman.
I know. She came the day after you came. It's like, oh, I had a I came straight back from doing all of the pregnancy stuff in San Diego. And I got off the plane and that day.
And I was here.
You were here.
And
all the other pregnant women
Josie
were here.
And,
yeah, yeah.
What's the other lady's name? She's been messaging me, actually.
Yeah, yeah, good, Steph.
Yep.
Yeah, and then we've also, the woman after that was the one who had elective epidurals, and she's absolutely fine, loves it, good. I'm glad it works for someone. And I've got other stories, so I'm pretty happy that it works for someone, seeing they keep on doing it, and inducing for no other reason,
mm-hmm.
that she's 40 weeks and one day. But because she's over 40, there's a danger. Hello, yes, you people are in the way. Anyway, so getting back to the woman who's still got the baby inside her, she's got way more problems than she had before because it's iatrogenesis. And I don't know why we're not looking after the mothers. We don't have to inform everybody of the terrible things that might happen. They're going to get way worse because we've actually freaked them out. And a woman who's pregnant is going to go home and worry all night.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a 1 in 10,000 likelihood, it's her. It's got to be her. And here we go again. We're creating, you know, energy follows thought.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
having a sense of humanity would be good if we were using that.
So.
Having a sense of humility, we don't know everything, none of us. And having a sense of humour. Oh, well, they told you that. Well, I've got a funny story about that. Because after all of these decades, I do have a story that will fit most thing. Now people go, where's your research? And I go, could you leave? No, the door's over there. What the hell do you think I've been doing? Every single minute I'm with a person, I'm trying to evaluate what best to do. I'll do something just because I don't think it's going to work, but my God, in this case it did. Or I'm always doing, why do I do it this way? Let's try and prove me wrong. Oh, look at that, I've got to do it that way, or it doesn't work. Okay, so what we all do in our lives is what works. So to tell somebody who's been doing the same job for longer than most medical practitioners that she needs to get medical training, etc., 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 no, I don't, thank you, because mammals and all living creatures are birthing some way that works, otherwise we wouldn't be here to do it. We have to follow nature. We're not following nature. We're freaking mum out, so that means there's more money to be had. And where are the midwives? They're getting shown the door. And I have a really amazing friend who's been doing it for nearly 40 years, and she gets the new obstetric registrars coming out to tell her that she's full of herself, to tell her that, you know, she basically needs to toe the line. Well, hello, just a minute here. Who's the one who's been having up to over 90% success rate, because she had me as a backup, in New Zealand, working as a home birth midwife?
Is this the lady midwife I met here? Can't remember her name.
No, don't think so.
She was here for a week or so.
Unless it was Yvonne.
Yeah.
Was it Yvonne?
Yeah.
You met
sure
her.
It was.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Well, she's having all sorts of trouble because she, like Heather, is a voice in the wilderness, a lamp in the darkness, even if it's a candle. And I'll tell you what, a candle in the daytime is not much use, but a candle in the dark is down handy. And so here she is trying to help the midwives who are coming through.
Just
and, of course, they've got a whole set of beliefs because it's a religion, it's a cult that they've all been inducted into, and I'm going, hang on a minute, if all of a sudden we had apocalypse, what would we be doing? We'd be going back to what works, which is let nature take its course.
100%.
And it's survival of the fittest. We were not made pregnant, be dead. It just wouldn't happen. And then where's our vitamin D? We're scared of the sun. Where's our magnesium? We've put all those vaccines and everything else in to block the magnesium. Like everything that should be going on that I have to now talk about, like iodine, yeah, let's put more fluoride in the water, why not?
Mm-hmm.
And just on that, how come there isn't a sign in front of everybody's kitchen tap, do not use for formula? Good question,
yeah.
Heather. It's full of fluoride. It's shutting their pineal glands down. They're not going to be able to think ever. It's shutting their brain down. Why have we got all these ADHD? Well, one of the many reasons we've got that is maternally unavailable iodine, and you can't even get Lugol's solution to paint it on your body. And all you hear from everybody is, that's really dangerous, Heather. I go, so shall we talk about bromide? which is the smell you can smell in all of your new cars and your new houses and your new furniture and everything. And they spray it on all the strawberries, and they spray it on all of the food that comes into the country, even if it is organic, so what? It, to come in, they've bromided it, and we have a bromide dominance catastrophe, and that's part of why, not only reason, but part of why we've got breast cancer. Okay, so this is not what we were talking about, but you see, it's not one answer. It's
no.
not one problem. It's not one catastrophe. It doesn't matter what somebody comes in with. I know they're going to be vitamin D deficient, and I don't care if their blood levels are great. Their signs say that they're not. So something's blocking it from getting from the blood to the body. Who would have thought? Their iodine's rubbish, which is why they've got everything going on. And their magnesium, oh, they can't stand magnesium on their skin because it prickles or itches. Yep, that's because you've got too much mercury in your body, and we've got to sort that out. Oh, but it says here, you know, them showing me their package. I don't care what it says in the package. You're not absorbing it. Or it might be in your blood, but you're not using it. So we've got to ask different questions. And this is why I do things the way that I do, because I've been standing here, I've got the historical perspective, I've had to live so much with what I've had to do with my four kids, over 18 years born, spanning the decades where women started to become empowered in the mid-70s to now they're completely disempowered in 2019. And I've been dealing with women in all of that time, watching it happen and accidentally getting pregnant again and again and again. So I've been dunked into three different decades of maternal care. And all I can say about this is somebody forgot that it's all about mum and baby bonding. Somebody forgot that dad's not going to be there with mum if she's gone troppo because of what they've done to her, or because there's a huge split in their marriage because he agreed for them to do something with her in labour because she was non-compos, and somebody had to stand up and they filled his head full of lies. I mean, how do we know who to listen to any longer? We do not. So we've got to make ourselves as being the authority, and we've got to drop down into ourselves, be guided by whatever is coming from above us, through us, down to the bottom circle, which is allowing you to be on the planet. So for anybody listening to this, something drew you to me.
100%.
Okay, something drew you to me. The rest of them are going somewhere else, getting their heads full up with catastrophe. And I'm going, well, it doesn't matter what's going on. Probably your body can fix it, but we can't keep doing what's created it. Oh, that's a bit too obvious. If you keep doing what's led you to here, you're going to...
Same thing, same way, you're going to get the same results.
Well, we are, but when you're pregnant, you get worse and worse and worse happening.
There's so much else takes over.
Well, yeah, particularly everybody freaking you out about what can go wrong. And it's their job to freak you out. And we're not going to talk about vaccination because I'm not allowed to. But how come, just on that note, how come anybody thought that if a product says not tested in children, forget about fetuses, you're going to inject it into a woman? And I know of two babies that are dead because mum got the whooping cough injection. And I'm not even wandering around in those circles to find more out. This is not okay. Like, where do we go with this? You're going to have to start standing up for yourself, because not is not working.